Well, hi there, folks. Welcome to the program. This, of course, is Stint Shield, the podcast. It's so great to be along with you today. A lot to talk about. I'm seeing some real signs that China now means business when it comes to Taiwan. Over the last few days, they've been doing military exercises. You have missile launches. You have jet fighter planes going in and encroaching on Taiwanese airspace. You've got naval ships surrounding the island. All of it looks really, really bad as far as Xi Jinping, the leader of the Chinese Communist Party, the leader of China, looking like they're going to go into Taiwan. So I want to talk about that today. Then you've got this trial in New York, maybe one of the most important trials that not a lot of people are talking about. That's the trial of billionaire Chinese dissident, Miles Guo, who has been locked up with no bail. Just about everybody you talk to associated with this case say these are trumped up bogus charges, all part of a political persecution. And lo and behold, what does China want? China wants him back. They want him extradited back because they look at Miles Guo as enemy number one, the Chinese Communist Party does. Anyway, so we're going to talk about all these things today on Stinchfield, the podcast. Our guest is Aileen Wang with the new federal state of China. So with that, folks, let's get it started.
Uncensored and unapologetic. This is Stinchfield. Here's your host, Grant Stinchfield.
All right. Thank you so much. As promised, Ayla Wang is with us. Ayla, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Grant. Thank you for having me today.
All right. I want to remind everybody the new federal state of China is the organization founded by Miles Guo and Steve Bannon, who I just mentioned, to take down the CCP and oust them. And one of the reasons why you'd want the CCP gone, certainly if you're Taiwanese, looking at what's going on here, it's really ramping up. I don't see a lot of coverage in the media about it. A little smattering here or there, but I'm really concerned. This may be it. This may be the time where he's going in. A lot of people had predicted it was going to be the spring of 2024. We're now moving in towards the end of that into summer. What are your thoughts, Ayla?
Right, Grant. Right after the inauguration to celebrate for a president Lai Ching-te in Taiwan, the Chinese Communist Party fastly reacted with large scale of military exercise around the Taiwan island. And in the meantime, the Chinese Communist Party also launched a social media campaign forcing lots of celebrities, public figures in China to repost of Taiwan will be reunited with China and that the stance has never changed. If you look at, all of the Chinese social media platforms, including Weibo, one of the social media platform that most celebrities use in China, that lots of these social media campaigns started to, rising in the past few days. And many, almost the majority of the celebrities, not only mainland celebrities, singers, dancers, actresses, and actors in Hong Kong and in Taiwan, who have business ties with mainland, with communist China, they were forced to repost these social media campaigns for the Chinese Communist Party statement. So I agree with you completely, Grant. It sounds to us like Xi Jinping is ready for his invasion, and all of these military exercises are threatening not only Taiwan, but also the entire peace for the East Asia.
All right, take me into how this all works. So we know here in America, we certainly know the social media companies can put pressure on you and all of these things, but it's very difficult for anybody to make me do a social media post. Maybe I've had a previous employer that has made me try to do a social media post, but it's very rare this happens. How does that work? You're a famous singer, and are you in Taiwan? You talk about these stars, or are these stars in China? Where are they, and how does that work where they make you take down a post or post something?
Exactly, Grant. The rule in China is work always around the Chinese Communist government. And the policy that they made to these singers, to the businessmen, to the public figures, is they have to stand with the Chinese Communist government. If they still want to travel to Communist China, if they still want to conduct business activities, entertaining activities in China. So you can see, all of these, especially with, Taiwanese singers, Taiwanese public figures and actors, as long as they have property in mainland, as long as they have business, performance, album release in China, every single of them reposted what the state government has said on the media and hashtagged with Taiwan will be reunited to China. And this was not just happened to mainland artists, to mainland celebrities. It also happened to Hong Kong artists, Taiwanese artists. And it is such a shame that today, you know, none of these celebrities and none of these public figures were dared to actually oppose against the Chinese Communist
All right.
Party.
So here's what I take away from this. We know that mainland China, there's a huge business there. I mean, if you're an entertainer, that's a huge market and you're going to want to do business there. So I don't think this has anything to do with their being beholden to the Chinese Communist Party. They just want the money that China will provide them by going and performing there. You know what this reminds me of, though, Ayla? I'm thinking of you know, Chinese entertainers or Taiwanese entertainers that have ties to China. This is Hollywood. The Chinese Communist Party has literally told Hollywood to take scenes out of their movies if they want to be played in China. And Hollywood, lo and behold, ultimately agrees. And I think sometimes they actually take scenes or change parts of movies to air in the United States as well. As Hollywood becomes more and more beholden to China, I'm sure not because they love the CCP, but because it's all about the money.
Exactly. And, you know, beyond the money deals, right, all of these celebrities might have some dark history materials that was also held and threatened by the Chinese Communist Party. These people's sexual relationships, their relationships with the government officials, these are all secrets in the closet that they do not want people to open that closet, right? And so the problem here today that if you look at Hollywood, remember, AMC was acquired by Chinese Vanda Group in 2012. What you saw here in the cinema today was also controlled by the Chinese Communist Party as well, because AMC was obviously owned and controlled by the CCP state. And if you look at how Chinese Communist Party utilized these companies and controlled them and what the Xi Jinping has done to these companies, you look at Vanda Group, and that is one of the example that right. people can saw. You know, the communist government used that entity to acquire AMC. And today, Xi Jinping was also, you know, announced huge amounts of fines with Vanda Group as well, because the Xi, the dead emperor of the Chinese Communist Party, wants to take over, rip off all of the wealth.
So AMC, so I didn't know this, AMC, the giant movie theater chain, is owned by the Chinese Communist Party?
Exactly, Grant. AMC's shares was majorly acquired by one of the Chinese real estate and entertaining group, whose name is Dalian Wanda Group. Wow. And the Wanda Group, you know, sold some of the shares and lost the control afterwards. But you look at, you know, how of these acquisition has moving forward. We have not even touching about Digital World, which, you know, entered the Hollywood market even earlier. All of these acquisitions, the money pouring into Hollywood, into entertaining industries, controlling what you can see in the cinema is one of the ways, and the ways that you will not even be aware of for Chinese Communist Party to put their ideologies into your mind.
Well, think about it. If you're a movie producer in Hollywood and AMC is asking you to do something to one of your movies because they're one of the largest movie theater chains in the country and you want distribution around America, you're probably going to be willing to do it. This is all part of the plan to take over America. This is what I believe. When you look at food sources, when you look at water sources, when you look at sensitive lands next to military bases, when you look at our electrical grid, all these things, and then you talk about the flow of information like TikTok, which so many people on social media, and movies. Because let's face it, you may not know you're getting your information from movies, but you're getting themes in movies. They can start to create the themes. You control the flow of information. You control the world, Ayla.
Exactly. And all of these top actresses whose movie was actually able to be released or to be published and you know, in the United States, these people have been also working very tightly with the Chinese Communist government. Many of these artists were actually forced to attend meetings under the Chinese Communist state government, because obviously, you know, media is, you know, one of the tools for CCP to conduct propaganda. And what the celebrities said in these movies and what the all of these public figures stance matters a lot to the Chinese Communist government. And this is exactly why today, you know, when Xi Jinping launched the large scale of military exercise around the Taiwan, you also saw the social media campaign has hit everybody and among these public figures to force them to express their stance of Taiwan being reunited with China.
Yeah. Amazing. Now, this is a bad news, and America should have Taiwan's back. I'm not really convinced that we do. In fact, I know we don't. I'll play you a soundbite from John Kirby, one of the Joe Biden's mouthpieces. But let me play this person. He's with the United Nations. And just this comment alone is troubling, talking about Taiwan and the United Nations' perception of how Taiwan stands on the world stage. Listen to this.
On the issue of China, we are guided by the General Assembly resolution of 1971.
You said the resolution of 1971, and what does that mean in this context?
Well, it means in terms of our standing on Taiwan as a province of China.
And so, Ayla, what is happening there?
Well, I will tell you very straightforward, Grant, right? If Taiwan is actually a province of China, how could Taiwan access Google without any limitation? How could Taiwanese people, you know, get onto YouTube, Facebook without any limitation? It appears very obviously that Taiwan was not part of communist China, you know, through the ideologies, through the cultures, although people speak the same language, right? And people understand each other. They have the similarities and familiar with the cultures. But you look at all of these structures, you look at the government structure, you look at the you know, the society that people feel very differently. And when United Nations said that they are supporting the Communist Party stance that Taiwan as a province of China, it also shows how deep that the ties that the Chinese Communist Party has built with the United Nations. All that right. Today.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I said that, you know, today that when people were seeking, you know, to have a clarification from United Nations, it obviously was not a clarification from the international society. It's a clarification or even, you know, reinforcement of what the CCP had said.
Yeah. And it's literally straight out of the CCP's talking points is what it sounds like to me. This idea of one China policy, would you explain what one China policy means?
Exactly. So the one China policy means that Hong Kong, Macau, Taiwan, in under Communist Party's policies and mindsets, they are all parts of China, and that they only admit that there is one China in this world, which includes Taiwan Island. And they do, you know, that in Taiwan, you know, in the history of China, the Chinese Communist government admits that there are two different political systems, but they always, you know, they always acknowledge and they always want to occupy the ownership of the land. And this is primarily why today that, you know, when people repost about or when these celebrities, the government repost about, you know, Taiwan being part of China, they were also actually confirming the determination of Xi Jinping to take over Taiwan.
What is the United States' official policy or traditionally has been official policy when it comes to one China? Because I often hear the Biden administration talking about this one China.
Exactly. And I think the one China, essentially echoes with what the United Nations says as well. And this is the problem here, because on the one hand, we did see, you know, certain efforts being made with some politicians in the United States. You saw, you know, Michael Pompeo, you know, went to the inauguration of the President Lai Ching-te. You've also seen other officials, other, you know, diplomatic representatives who went to Taiwan to congratulate, to celebrate the inauguration. And, you know, praise and encourage people about the democracy in Taiwan. But on the other hand, the one China policy here still kind of like occupies people's minds and determines that the Chinese Communist Party did have a say about the island.
All right. So really, you get back to this idea of ambiguity, which was by design, typically in a foreign policy perspective, to not really let China know where we stood as a nation. Typically, presidents had taken this ambiguous role towards it, kept them on their toes. It seems to me like this administration has turned its back on Taiwan, almost giving Xi Jinping a green light to go in and take it over.
I think, Grant, we absolutely need a stronger attitude to protect Taiwan, right? Because obviously CCP's goal was not just to occupy the Taiwan island, or, you know, to have Taiwanese people to abandon the Google access, the YouTube access. Obviously CCP was looking for something beyond just the island. And the reason that they're taking over, they're planning to take over Taiwan, is that they want to leverage the United States in its role in Asia primarily. You look at Japan, you look at India, these people are actually should be allies with the United States that to defend any of the threats that are coming up in Asia about the Chinese Communist Party.
All right, let me play a clip from John Kirby talking about Taiwan, China being asked about, you know, the potential threat from China invading Taiwan. Listen to John Kirby. This is one of the Joe Biden's main spokespeople. Take a listen.
Certainly Taiwan came up in the context of the call. There's not a single discussion that we don't have with senior leaders in the PRC where we don't talk about Taiwan. Of course it came up. I won't characterize President Xi's comments, but I can tell you that President Biden was very, very clear that nothing's changed about our one China policy. We don't support independence for Taiwan, but we also don't want to see the status quo changed in a unilateral way, and certainly not by force.
You know, my response to this is typical of the Biden administration, that everything they want, whether it's college campus protesters, whether it's Black Lives Matter, whether it's China invading Taiwan, it's this middle of the road stance. We're going to say no to you here, but then kind of a yes over here. And we'll try to make these people like us, and we'll try to make these people, and we'll stand right in the middle of the road. And as I always say, when you stand in the middle of the road, you get hit by cars. And so this is really a bad way to take this policy. What do you make of his comments where he legitimately says we do not support Taiwan's independence?
Exactly, Grant. You know, I do appreciate you mentioned about the ambiguity from these politicians. The problem here today is that if we allow any of the spaces for the Chinese Communist Party to think that they're legitimate to take over Taiwan, they're legitimate to launch such, you know, large scale of military exercise, you will see more military exercise, and not just around Taiwan, also in Middle East, also in Russia, Ukrainian area, or even in South America. All of these CCP's military bases were not built just to brag about its expansion, right? It was built for actually launching a warfare against the United States.
Yeah.
So the problem here today is that if we show ambiguity when people ask about your support of Taiwan, if we show ambiguity, we're getting, say, CCP more spaces for them to launch the military exercise or even actual, military attack.
You know, though, I would almost offer this up, Ayla. I almost think these comments, there was nothing ambiguous about it. He literally says, we don't support Taiwan's independence. Then you can't say, on the other hand, oh, well, but we like the status quo. You either support Taiwan's independence or you don't. I think where ambiguity comes into play is we don't support any military action. Taiwan is very happy where they are. China's good where they are. Let's just keep going where we are. And you don't answer the question. Then you keep Xi Jinping. Well, where are they? Well, Xi Jinping doesn't know where you are. You say that. Xi Jinping is like, okay, well, you support our, we don't support Taiwan's independence. Well, come on and roll on in.
Exactly. It was almost an approval from from the government.
Yeah. And that to me is frightening, because you're literally asking for what could turn out to be very, very bad situation from the number of countries. Though I will say this, I'm not sure the world's appetite right now, with everything going on in the world, is to come to the rescue of Taiwan. I think Taiwan's going to be hung out to dry and on its own through all of this.
Well, Grant, this is where we concern, right? Taiwan definitely needs support of its allies, and we definitely need to see more hands that are willing to rise up and to help Taiwan out of these threatening fronts, the Chinese Communist Party. You look at hundreds of military exercises that have been launched ever since the inauguration. You understood that the Chinese Communist Party and Xi Jinping itself has actually made stronger determinations in the exercise in its actual attack to Taiwan. And the problem here today is that you know, when you mention about that we are not certain about the world's appetite, that there are, you know, chaos all around the world, you know, about Iran, about Middle East, and everywhere else in this world has been changing very fast. And this will also give Xi Jinping the pressure for him to actually launch in, you know, official warfare against Taiwan. Yeah. So today, you know, that we definitely urge a stronger support from all over the countries to support Taiwan, because that was the only way to stop the Chinese Communist Party from expanding its military further.
Yeah, I think you're 100% correct on that. Lastly, on this topic, real quick, do you think he's getting ready to go in? Is there anything from your whistleblowers inside the CCP about timelines or dates?
You know, Grant, you know, months ago, we do receive, you know, an exclusive information with our whistleblowers in mainland China, that the whistleblowers actually told us that Xi ordered the People's Liberation Army internally that they're ready to invade Taiwan at any time. So even months ago, you know, the determination and the order was already issued. So it could literally happen at any time.
All right. Good to know. And I appreciate them really risking their lives to get us that kind of information. And sadly, with all these military exercises, I think it could be imminent as well. All right, turning now to a very important trial going on in New York City in a federal courthouse. The founder of your organization, the New Federal State of China, Steve Bannon, a good friend of mine, also along with Miles Guo, one of the founders of the New Federal State of China, organized to take down the CCP. It's no secret that the billionaire Chinese dissident Miles Guo is a enemy number one of the Chinese Communist Party. He's done so much to shine a bright light on the ills of the Chinese Communist Party, and they do not like him for that. Lo and behold, under the Trump administration, Miles basically lives freely in the United States. There was a lot of rumblings about, hey, we want to do this. I believe Trump's words were, if the Chinese Communist Party wants him so badly, there must be a reason why he's good for us here in America. Then lo and behold, Biden administration comes in. All of these charges drop. Everyone I've talked to involved in the case, witnesses in the case, victims of the case, or so-called quote victims, all everybody says this is bogus. There's nothing there. Even victims claim, hey, we're not victims. He's in trial now. Jury has been picked. Opening arguments just completed today. How important, Ayla, is this trial of Miles Guo?
Absolutely. And thank you, Grant, for giving us this opportunity to actually share information about Miles' trial. You know, we have been waiting. I'm sure that Miles and his defense team have been prepared for this day for so long that in the past year, he and his defense team worked relentlessly every single day to prepare for the trial. And I would call it as, you know, the trial of the century, that the trial will absolutely bring you more evidences about CCP's attacks to Miles as a dissident and as, you know, the number one enemy of the Chinese Communist government. In fact, that, you know, months ago, that the judge of Miles's case actually approved one of the orders to allow the evidences related to CCP's fox hunt operations targeting Miles as one of, you know, its initiatives as enemies to be included in the trial. So I would absolutely look forward to see more evidences that was related to Chinese Communist parties of attacking Miles to appear in this court. And as you said, that you know, the jury has been selected this morning. In Miles' case, there will be 12 jurors with 6 alternatives that they have been selected by both parties and the judge this morning. The government and the defense team this morning has already completed their opening statements. They were given a 30-minute lunch break today. So right after the lunch break, you know, the court proceedings will resume, right, as, you know, as it should. And you know, it was very worth noticing that in the opening statements of Miles's defense team, that Miles's lawyers actually mentioned about Miles' family history. He was, you know, a family of 8 children, and he was the number 7. His daughter and his wife were arrested by the Chinese Communist Party in the past. And he and his business was, you know, being taken away by the Chinese Communist government. They also mentioned about how Chinese Communist Party utilized the international, Interpol to issue red notice on Miles after, you know, he started the whistleblowers movement, after he started to broadcast against the Chinese Communist Party and to expose the corruption of the CCP government officials. It was a very powerful opening statement that Miles and his defense team gave to the court. So we would pray for him as we pray for him and his families every single day. And I would, you know, believe that throughout the trial, there will be more evidences that makes people know more about CC, about the Chinese Communist Party and how its Foxconn operations, you know, target Miles.
So one of the things that I am going to be very interested in watching here is something that's very similar to what I've seen in many of President Trump's trials. The involvement of, on President Trump's case, the Biden administration involved in the prosecution and persecution of President Trump. What I would like to see, I wonder if it will come out, and I suspect it will, because he has a great legal team, as you would expect. What is the role the Chinese Communist Party played in dealing with the DOJ, Department of Justice? How many communiques went back and forth between the Department of Justice and the Chinese Communist Party? Did they recruit Chinese Communist Party witnesses to come in and talk about Miles? Is this a setup job? How closely was the DOJ working with the CCP to go and charge Miles and then ultimately push him into this trial? All that, as an outsider's perspective, will be fascinating to see. And I wonder if anything like that will come out. Do you have any predictions?
Well, Grant, I think that, you know, some of the roles of what the Chinese Communist Party had played in Miles's case, whether in regards to, you know, if they have been, you know, if some of the victims were actually communicated with the Chinese Communist Party prior to their testimony at the trial, or, you know, some of the witness has been pressured by the Chinese Communist Party. These are all potential possibilities that we do not know yet, because it needs to be presented in the court, right? And we will verify all of these, all of our understanding or our imagination about CCP's role in the trial, I'm pretty sure. And I have full confidence in Miles and his legal team that they have prepared very well for the upcoming trial. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, from the defense side, that Miles and his team will give us more information about how CCP interfered in Miles' activities in the United States and how the Chinese Communist Party tried to discredit and sabotage Miles over all of these years.
I guess a question for you is, what do you think this trial is really about?
I think this trial was about to see CCP's infiltration and CCP's activities here in the United States in all of the aspects in business, you know, in legal, in all of in controlling, you know, who can speak and who cannot, and all, and obviously cyber attacks and physical, you know, harassment as well.
All right. Here's what we should do over the next few weeks. I think this trial is going to last, it could last 3-4 weeks. Agreed?
The judge actually gave an estimation earlier on. The judge said the trial will, you know, probably approximately last long for 7 weeks. And this was the number that was, you know, provided to the jurors. But the judge was also very neutral and very honest to the public that there was it was impossible for her to actually understand how long the trial will take. But the estimation was 7 weeks.
All right. Well, you and I and others in the New Federal State of China talk every week. So let's make sure we're getting updates as this trial unfolds, because as you mentioned, it is a very important update, and I really am keen on looking at the CCP's infiltration of America and our justice system here in America. And this trial, I think, will be a key element of exposing that. And ultimately, what could come out of this trial is a sanitization of that, sanitize that from us. That would be the best thing possible. And of course, Miles being acquitted as well. So we've got some big trials. We got Trump on trial. We got Miles on trial. We got all this stuff going on. We'll be watching it. Ayla Wang, you know, I always appreciate you coming on. I appreciate the work the New Federal State of China does and all the whistleblowers who risk their lives to bring us this information. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Grant. It is our honor to, you know, speak with you and to share all of this information to the public. And we will never stop to fight until we take down the Chinese Communist Party.
Well, amen to that, Ayla. And again, I appreciate you guys. And it's my honor to have you on and push the idea of freedom. And I know so many of our viewers out there, many of them Chinese, many of them watch this in China, cutting up small clips of this so people can see it in China. I mean, sometimes you go to my Twitter feed and you will see, folks, that there are Chinese that are sharing this in China, in Chinese, subtitled. And it's important that this stuff gets out to them, that they see that there is hope out there. And really, that's what we're providing them. So I appreciate all of you watching. Share it far and wide. Of course, Stinchfield 1776 is where you can find me on social media. The website is grantstinchfield.com, grantstinchfield.com. Subscribe to the channel. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. All of it, please. We'll see you on the Real America's Voice show tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Stinchfield's Army rolls. Thanks to all of you. See you soon, folks.